We'd like to welcome you to the November 9th meeting of the Savannah Historic District Board Review. Purpose of this board is to promote the educational, cultural, economic, and general welfare of the city of Savannah. This board is appointed by city council and is not affiliated with any for-profit and nonprofit organization. Preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards established in the city of Savannah zoning ordinance are the basis for evaluating the compatibility of changes and new development. The board cannot consider criteria not specifically identified within the ordinance. Items such as landscaping, parking availability, traffic, noise, and impact on property values are not within the board's purview and cannot be a factor in the issuance or denial of a C of A. Similarly, personal preferences will not be the basis for a decision. At this time, please mute yourselves so we can clearly hear everyone and have a clear record. Okay, number one, sign postings. Apparently are none. Members of the board received packages containing applications in the week before the meeting and individually visit the sites of the projects. If a project is not properly posted, it is removed from the agenda and rescheduled. Were there any projects that were not posted this month? Hearing none, we will move to the consent agenda. This agenda items have been found by the preservation officer to be in accordance with the preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards, and have apparent consensus with no known objections from the public. So I'm going to read the consent agenda items now. Petition of Old Coast Heating and Air Conditioning, Roy Moore, 22-004347. Dash COA 107 West Perry Street Solar Panels. Petition of Green Line Architecture 22004364 COA 63 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, Amendment to New Construction. Petition of Array Design 22-004587 COA 412-416 East Gwinnett Street, Amendment to a previous COA. Petition of Susan Mason, 22-004710, COA 602 Habersham Street, New Hanrail. Petition of Walt Freeman, 22-004726, COA 3 West Perry Street, Fence. Petition of Ethos Preservation, 22-004730, COA 406 East Hall Street, amendment to previous COA. Petition of Waters Building and Design 22-00470, COA 301 East Charlton Street, alterations. Petition of Historic Savannah Foundation 22-004743, COA 321 East York Street, alterations. Petition of Ellis 3P Associates Architects 22-004746 COA 110 Ann Street, amendments to new construction. And petition of Barnard Architects 22-004749 COA 21 East McDonough Street, mechanical enclosure. Were there any projects that were not, is there any member of the public or any board member who wishes to remove an item from the consent agenda to the regular agenda?
Madam Chair, before a motion is made, I just want to repeat my pre-meeting comment regarding number six, the Ethos presentation or preservation item. As a board member, I really appreciate the clarity of the way they indicated the alterations to the or amendments to the previous approval, and it's certainly easy to follow the way they did that. Appreciate that.
Okay, thank you for your comment. Hearing none, is there a motion for approval by the consent agenda?
Gwen, so moved.
Second?
Altshuler, second.
Okay. A motion to approve the consent agenda was made by Ms. Gwen and seconded by Mr. Altshuler. All in favor, say aye.
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 If your item was on the consent agenda, it has been approved, and you are welcome to leave or stay as you like. Is there a motion for approval of the agenda?
Thompson, I move to approve the agenda for November 9th.
Is there a second?
Gwen, second.
Okay. A motion to approve the agenda was made by Mr. Thompson and seconded by Ms. Gwen. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
The motion to approve the agenda has been approved and is passed. Minutes from the previous meeting are attached to the agenda. Is there a motion for approval of the previous month's minutes?
Altshuler, so moved.
Second?
Thompson, second.
A motion to approve the previous month's minutes was made by Mr. Altshuler and seconded by Mr. Thompson. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
The motion to approve the minutes has been approved and passed. Items requested to be removed from the final agenda. There are none listed, so we will move on to the continued agenda. These applications have been requested to be continued to the following meeting. Petition of Pantheon ADC-22-002854, COA 11 Jefferson Street. Is there a motion to continue the item to the continued agenda?
Gwen, so moved.
Second?
Rowan, second.
A motion to continue this item was made by Ms. Gwen and seconded by Ms. Rowan. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
The motion to approve the continued agenda has been approved and passed. Requests for extension, there are none. So we're going to move into the regular agenda. Moving on, staff will present the application with a recommendation. The petitioner will then have the opportunity to respond to the recommendations. We ask that the petitioner limit their presentation to 10 minutes or less and only address items identified as inconsistent with the ordinance and questions raised by the board. The public will then have the opportunity to comment, after which the petitioner may respond to public comments. The board will then go into board discussion, at which point no further testimony is received unless specifically requested of and granted by the chairman. We will structure board discussion by going around to each board member two times for comment. You do not have to provide comments if you do not have any. If you are joining us virtually for the first time, locate your control panel. Public that wishes to submit comment, use the raise your hand feature. I'll be notified and I will call your name. You will submit your name for the record and then you may comment. Please keep your comments to 3 minutes or less. So we're going to start with the first petition. This is the petition of Gerald Chambers and Michael, and I apologize for this, Granabaum, not 100% how to say that, application number 22-004372, COA 222 East Gwinnett Street, alterations. So go ahead with your record, your presentation.
Thank you. This is Jamie Zerillo presenting the staff recommendation for alterations at 222 East Gwinnett Street. The petitioner is requesting approval for rehabilitation alterations to the rear lane building for the property located at 222 East Gwinnett Street. It's a contributing structure. The principal structure is constructed in 1884. And when staff did our site visits for the context, there was unapproved brickwork within the context, which forms one of staff's first conditions in our recommendation, which I'll get to. But here is the surrounding context on the lane. This is the structure here visible from the lane, and this is the street itself. So moving on to that, this is the elevation of the proposed alterations. So they're proposing to add this second story porch as well as change some openings. As far as the Secretary of Interior standards are considered, the petitioner provided historic evidence as well as a statement from the previous owner, which supported their proposal of altering those openings as well as adding the porch. In addition, they also mentioned the replacement of, I think someone has a echo. Oh, you're good. They also mentioned the replacement of deteriorated siding with hardy board. And staff is aware that there's a mixture of historic wood as well as replacement wood and hardy board. So staff, as our first condition, is recommending that replacement of any deteriorated boards be in kind. Moving forward, staff had a few comments as far as the design standards go. So one of the first comments is that a door is proposed to be, it's proposed to be a salvage door from repurposed Savannah. So staff is asking that the petitioner provide a photograph so that staff can determine if it's visually compatible. Moving forward, staff had a comment about the roof. So a condition of approval that staff is recommending is that they provide a dimension for the extension of the eaves, as well as to revise the soffits so they're not sloping in plane with the porch roof, which the standards prohibit. In addition, the standards require that they provide cap and base molding for the posts and the elevation. So with that said, staff's recommendation is approval for rehabilitation alterations at 222 East Gwinnett Street, with the following conditions to be submitted to staff for final review and approval, because otherwise the work is visually compatible and meets the standards. And that is one, that the illegal brickwork shall be removed and inspected by the appropriate city departments, not MPC preservation staff, prior to the issuance of any stamp permit drawings for the proposed alterations. That they salvage all historic materials on the site for potential reuse, revise the proposed replacement siding material to wood siding that matches the existing historic wood siding and materials, design, texture, and other visual qualities. Four is provide images of the proposed new doors. Five is that the porch eaves must overhang at least 8 inches and provide the dimension for that. Six is revise the porch roof soffits to be perpendicular to the post below and not sloping in plane with the roof. And seven is add cap and base molding to the porch posts. And I will turn it over to any questions the board has of staff.
Any questions from the board? Okay, thank you. Would the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Good afternoon. My name is Michael Gronbaum. I'm one of the owners of the building. Thank you so much for allowing me to speak today. Let's see. So just going over the information that was provided. So in regards to the doors, the several points. So the first part, we revised the proposed placement siding material to wood siding that matches the existing historic wood siding and materials, design, texture, and other visual qualities. The current carriage house has cement board, as stated by the MPC in the September meeting, and we will comply with the request there. Provided images of the proposed new doors, as you can see on your screens as well. So these are the doors that we're suggesting. In regards to the porch eaves, we will also comply with the 8-inch overhang there as well. In regards to the porch soffits, we will also comply with that specific request. And when it comes to the ad caps and base moldings to the porch posts, as shown, we will comply as requested as well. We do request, however, to remove the requirement in regards to what was considered as illegal brickwork, as it does not have part into this project as well. So therefore, we're just requesting the removal of the requirement there, so we can proceed with this this step there.
Sorry, just wanted to clarify. You said you wanted to remove the illegal brickwork. You would recommend that it would be removed from the staff's recommendations to the second application?
To the second application, exactly. So that, because it does not apply to this one, because this application does not touch the that side of the building, therefore it does not need to be attached to this application. Therefore, we're requesting the removal of it from this specific application, as this application only impacts alterations through the front of the rear building.
Okay. It is a little confusing because there are two applications for the same project. So maybe we can have staff clarify that on the second application.
Okay.
Right. Thank you. Does anyone have any questions of the applicant?
Madam Chair. Yeah, I guess I'd like to have staff to explain that, because according to the pictures I saw, the brick wall we're talking about is attached to or adjacent completely to the historic building. And in the area where you plan to put the eye in on the new building, is that what you call it, an eye?
Yeah, so, that's, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so I think it needs to be in both comments. One applies to the historic building, get that detached. And the other one, it doesn't look like it belongs with the new building unless you can explain, because I couldn't tell what it was for.
So the alteration part is just in regards to the existing carriage house rehabilitation process to have basically parts of the historic character added back to the house. So the rear side of the, where they, that that brick wall is not part of that process at all. So the rear side is not, or the side, the western side of the building is not part of the first CRA that we have here.
Could you go back to the, there was a brief snippet of a shot of the brickwork. No. It was in your packet. It showed more extensive imagery of it. There. What is it being built for?
We have had issues with residents in the surrounding areas. Using our trash cans. So we basically extended our to protect our trash cans. We had just continued the fence line that we had already in order to have our waste bins stored and secured, so that not people are not just using our trash cans.
So is the ledger board on top attached to the historic building?
No, it's not. It's just adjacent.
Just abuts it.
Yes.
Storage, Madam Chair. It's on garbage enclosures on the other side of where the new building will be.
It is on the site, and well, I don't want to go ahead already into the next part, but if basically as part of the new construction, if you will, as you will see in the second request for approval, the wall there will be different anyway. So as part of that part, it will be eventually taken down for the new construction, but we're just requesting it to be removed from this agenda item.
I don't get it, but we'll have a chance with the next application.
Okay.
To re-ask the question.
Can you clarify what you just said? Because you said it's going to be taken down for the second case?
Exactly, yes. As you can see in the, I don't have the part open here yet, but as you will see in the request for approval for the second part, you will see that the line where the new construction or the addition to the building will directly abut to it is different from what's currently there.
Okay, I'm going to ask staff to clarify this a little bit for us. Can we remove item number one as he's requesting for this first petition and leave it on the second petition?
I mean, you all can obviously do whatever you want to, but I mean, if they were planning on replacing all the siding on this side of the building as part of that petition, I'm not real sure how you do that.
There is no request in replacing all the siding on that side, so I'm not sure where that information came from.
My apologies, sir.
Sorry, can we restate the question?
The question that we had was, can we remove item number one as one of the conditions for this first petition, but leave it on the second petition, since what he's saying is it does not have anything to do with an addition. It has to do with alterations.
So I guess what Leah said is right. You can do that. I guess staff's logic behind it is that it was touching the structure, so we considered it as part of the context. But again, it's up to you all.
Okay, that's fine. Thanks.
I guess one more question for staff. Is there any precedent or procedure to combine these two petitions?
So that's up to the applicant. The applicant requested they be reviewed separate.
You all. Like you mentioned in the pre-meeting, if you're having an issue visualizing the two projects, how they'll be next to each other, I mean, you can require them to be together.
Do you think it would be best? I guess I would suggest let's go through to the second one and then see, make a decision based on that if we want to propose the two be combined.
Are we able to do that though? We can't skip ahead on the agenda items if they're two separate petitions.
They can table it, right? You can table this one and you'd vote to, you know, somebody make a motion to table it and then you would go back to it when you're ready.
I think we could try that. Okay. We need a motion to table it.
Higgins, move to table this.
Rowan, second.
Okay. There's been a motion to table our first petition by Michael Higgins and seconded by Ms. Rowan, and proceed with the second application now. In favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, let's go ahead with the second petition. This is the petition of, I'll go ahead and read it, petition of Gerald Chambers and Michael Grum, 22-004727-COA, 222 East Gwinnett Street. This is for new construction, small, parts one and two.
Thank you. This is Jamie Zarillo presenting the staff recommendation. So the petitioner is requesting approval for new construction, small parts one and two at 222 East Gwinnett Street. The new construction is in addition to an existing historic lane building and is connected by that hyphen. And I'll pull up some elevation. Here's the site plan that they provided. So this is the new addition, and then this is the existing lane building. As far as base zoning, all the standards are met for that. There is a special preservation brief for additions. So since there is this proposed hyphen, staff found that it met the majority of the preservation brief requirements as it distinguishes the new addition from the old, and it minimizes the loss of any historic material and as well as the historic form. And there's just a floor plan which illustrates that a little bit better. As far as comments, staff had one comment, is that we're recommending that the petitioner provide a dimension for the inset and ensure that it meets a 6-inch minimum just to clear the historic lane structure's corner boards, just to minimize any loss of historic material and form. Um, And staff didn't have any major comments relating to the Secretary of Interior standards. A lot of them are covered in the preservation brief, and staff just found that the way that they propose this is compatible, and it minimizes the loss of historic character in the historic form. And as far as visual compatibility, there were some of these renderings which were provided. Staff finds the design to be visually compatible, and it's also distinguishable from the existing construction. As far as design standards, staff had a few comments. One, that they revised the foundation as it projects forward of the building plane, which the standards do not permit. Another is that the proposed door, staff recommends choosing a more visually compatible door material, such as steel, wood, or wood clad material, as opposed to fiberglass. Moving on to the balusters, staff is recommending that additional information be provided. Staff is recommending revising them to meet the 36-inch minimum standard, as they're 40 inches high. So we just recommend that they bring it down to meet that standard. In addition, in the accessory structure standards, we're asking for additional information just to clarify the apron for the garage and how that will be resolved. As an apron can't be erected in the public right-of-way. And as you saw in the site plan, it's right on the lane. So staff's recommending that they provide additional information to clarify how they're going to resolve that. So with that being said, staff's recommendation is approval for new construction, small parts 1 and 2 at 222 East Gwinnett Street with the following conditions. One is the illegal brickwork shall be removed and inspected by the appropriate city departments and not the MPC preservation staff prior to the issuance of any stamp permit drawings for the proposed new construction, provide a dimension for the inset of the hyphen and ensure it is a 6-inch minimum to clear the historic lane structure's corner boards. 3 is to revise the foundation so it does not project forward of the building plane. 4 is revise the porch roof soffits to be perpendicular to the post below and not sloping in plane with the roof. 5 is to revise the proposed fiberglass doors to be steel, wood, or wood clad. 6 is provide clarification of where the apron will be and ensure it is not erected on the public right-of-way. And 7 is to revise the second story porch railing to meet the 36-inch railing height standard. And I will turn it over to any questions the board has of staff.
Are there any questions for staff on this application?
Yes. Could you go back to the site plan and point out where that illegal brickwork or unpermitted brickwork is?
This is the existing carriage house, and that brickwork would be right in here, and this essentially where the hyphen is proposed.
I can see why it was initially confusing for us, but it makes more sense now that we've seen the second application. So, does anyone have any other questions of staff? Thank you. Would the petitioner please come forward? State your name for the record.
Good afternoon, it's me again, Michael Gronbaum. Just covering the...
You muting back there? We need anybody that has anything on to mute.
Okay. All right. Just starting off again with the illegal brickwork. First question would be, who would be the department that we would have to get in touch with in order to once it is removed, because staff was not clear who would be able to confirm that part.
That would be your co-compliance officer that you've been working with.
Gotcha. And then the second part, and this question is, if the design is approved, which according to staff's recommendation, it is approved, as you will see, I'm not sure if I can zoom in here. So as you can see, as you can see in the schematics and everything on the blueprints, you will see that there is a 6-inch variance on the plans if it is the way it is requested and approved, which the current brick wall that is just abutting to the carriage house, not attached to the carriage house, is flush with it. So if these plans are approved, it is part of the it will be removed. Therefore, we're just requesting to have this part removed, as once the plans are approved, then we can, that it automatically will be removed anyway. So it's not to have it, or there's no need to have it as a condition, as this part will not be remaining as it is right now. Let's see. Which leads basically to part two of the staff recommendations. We will comply with the 6-inch minimum setback as submitted in the new drawings. Then the third part, revise the second story porch railing to meet the 36-inch railing height standards as submitted in the package. We will comply with this change as well, and as updated in the new drawings. In regards to the fiberglass door, we will comply to a steel door as requested. And then fifth part, revise the foundation so that it does not project forward off the building plan. We will comply as shown in the drawings as well. As you can see here, the part that is mentioned as projecting forward, it is not part of the foundation. It's just a part of the front porch of the building, but it is not part of the main the foundation of the main build main new addition there. And then revise the porch surface to be perpendicular to the post below and not sloping in plane with the roof. We will comply as well as shown in the drawings and updates that we have provided to staff. And then provide clarification of where the apron will be and ensure it's not erected on the public right away. The apron will be erected where the current row of 3¼-inch thick graving pavestones are, which currently sits on over 3 feet of sand, sill, and rock, which is not on the public right away, and taps the water drain away from the property area. As shown, the apron will be 1 to 2 inches above street grade to make the transition.
Does that complete your proposal?
I'm sorry. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
Thank you. Anyone have questions of the applicant?
Was there any specific reason you chose to do these as two separate petitions?
Yes. So we basically, because for us in Vision, we had them separated. So we did not, we were not 100% certain to get the approval for the new construction. Therefore, we submitted them as separate projects.
Thank you. I think what we're going to do now is, we're going to ask for public comment. I guess we'll have to move ahead with this application and then go back to the first application. So we'll continue with this one and see if there is anyone in the public that would like to comment. And if so, come forward and sign in and state your name for the record, please. At this time, we are going to enter into board discussion and no further comment will be accepted. Each board member is afforded two opportunities to provide comment. It is alternated on which end of the board panel we want to discuss. At this point, we'll begin with Mr. Thompson.
I have no comment.
No comment.
Ms. Gwynn?
No comment.
No comment.
I have a comment. I have a really low comfort level with not being able to see the effect of these projects on each other. Because the first proposal, the renovation of the historic building, has such radical changes to the historic building. There's not even one view of both of these buildings together. So we can see what effect the designs have on each other. So I've got a really low comfort level with that.
It is complicated. I think that we're going to have to just move forward with the best interpretation that we can of each one of these and just, you know, look at them as basically separate projects of the, or separate parts of the same project. I don't know any other way that we can address this unless staff has any other recommendations. I mean, it is the same project, but you've got two parts, moving parts to it. So I think we're just going to have to break it into one and two. We have two on the table right now that we're discussing. And I think let's stay with what we've got on that recommendation and petition, and then we'll go back to number one. Just do the best we can, I think, to factor both of them in into the one package. Any other comments, Mr. Higgins?
I guess I have comfort with the first petition. It's the second one that I think I have less comfort with. So I might be more amenable to approving the first and putting the second one off to the next meeting.
Well, and I think we can make a motion to that effect.
Can I ask a
with
question?
With these individually.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Is that so you could require them to add the drawings?
Yes.
Put the drawings together as one package so you
yes.
can see what the porch and all that will look like on the other one. Okay.
Exactly.
I was just trying to follow. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, let's move ahead with this application for the new construction, small parts one and two for 222 East Gwinnett Street. We will now entertain a motion.
Higgins, I would move that the Historic Board of Review continue this petition to the December what date?
I think it's the 14th.
To the December 14th meeting.
Is there a second?
And require drawings of both buildings combined.
Madam Chair, I could second that, but I'm a little confused because the application for the second one had both drawings and crude, but models showing the two buildings together. So I'm not sure what additional information would be provided. I don't want to waste our time or the applicant's time if it exists already in the application.
Is there something staff can show us to that effect?
It doesn't, and I guess what you're getting at is it doesn't show the new porch that they're proposing and whatnot. So I think
there's no rendering of both the two buildings.
Right.
And since this one's going to be added on and attached to it, it would
right.
be.
So like it does, for example, here, it doesn't show the new porch that's being proposed. I
it
think
does
that's
not
what you're
post renovation.
Right, right. So it sounds like you're asking to show this elevation as it would be if the alterations were approved. Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Madam Chair, I'll second it.
Thank you. Okay. So we have a motion on the floor by Mr. Higgins to continue to December 14th to show the drawings of both of the petitions and how they will interact with each other. And it was seconded by Mr. Thompson. So is there any discussion on the motion? I'm going to vote now. Mr. Thompson, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Atcheller?
Aye.
Ms. Quinn?
Aye.
Ms. Rowan?
Aye.
Mr. Higgins?
Aye.
Okay, I think we need to go back to alterations for 222 East Gwinnett Street.
And excuse me, you need to make a motion to remove it back onto the, to remove it from the
table. To remove it from the table? Is that what you mean?
To put it back on the table, I'm sorry.
To put it back on the table. Okay. Is there a motion to put?
This is Gwen. I move to put petition of Gerald Chambers and Michael Gronbaum 22-004372-COA back on the agenda.
Is there a second?
Rowan, second.
Okay, it's been moved by Ms. Gwen and seconded by Ms. Rowan to put application 22-004372-COA 222 East Gwinnett Street back on the agenda. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay. We will now entertain a motion for this project.
Higgins, I move this Savannah Historic District Board of Review with regard to 222 East Gwinnett Street, MPC file number 22-004372-COA. Approve the staff recommendations, including points 1 through 7.
Is there a second?
I'll tell a second.
Okay, it has been moved by Mr. Higgins and seconded by Mr. Altshuler to approve 22-004372-COA with all conditions 1 through 7 as recommended by staff. Is there any discussion on the motion? Okay, we're going to vote now. Start with you, Mr. Higgins.
Aye.
Vote. Ms. Rowan?
Aye.
Ms. Quinn?
Aye.
Mr. Atcheller?
Aye.
Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
Thank you. Motion passes. Okay, we're going to move on to application from GM Shea Architects 22-004359COA 225 East President Street, alterations in addition.
Good afternoon, this is Caitlin Chamberlain. The applicant is requesting approval for alterations and an addition for the property at 225 East President Street, including demolition of a 1980s addition and replacement with a new addition, porch glazing, and an in-kind roof replacement. This is a redesign based on the original submittal from the October 12th Savannah Downtown Historic District Board of Review meeting. The applicant addressed the issues and created a redesign based on board comments and historic photographs. And to go over some context of the history and the surrounding area, the property at 225 East President Street was built in 1855 and is a contributing resource within the Savannah National Historic Landmark District and the Savannah Downtown Historic District. In According to the building data sheet from 1970, the property now known as 225 East President Street was originally a duplex built for the estates of William Washington Gordon and George W. Anderson. The northern portion of the house was at one time the home of Judge William Law, an eminent lawyer and jurist, and southern portion of the house was the home of General Alexander Lawton, also a lawyer and an American diplomat to the court of Vienna. Staff will also add a disclaimer to these that the labels are backwards on these maps. So the 1884 is actually this one here. So 1884 Sanborn map shows the 4.5-story brick duplex configuration of the structure. Both sides appear to have a 3-story brick rear section. In 1888, the 3-story rear portion showed a wood frame area had been added. By 1898, the 3-story rear portion showed a wood frame area, By 1898, the Sanborn map shows a different configuration on the rear where there's a 2-story central frame area with a basement flanked by brick abutments on either side. Along the truss lot, there were several other buildings that no longer exist, and the addresses appear to have changed over time due to that, aside from the citywide renumbering of the streets in the late 1880s. Thus, what is today considered 225 East President is a more contemporary address. The duplex on what looks like the rear of the lot, if the front portion is considered closest to Oglethorpe Square, is the building referred to in the Sanborn maps, adjacent to Lincoln Street. Additionally, a bird's eye view of Savannah map from 1891 shows the building with a 2-story brick enclosure rather than an open porch. This property has undergone a variety of changes and alterations since 1855. The Georgia Historic Resources Forum from 1995 notes some dates of alterations of the property, including circa 1884 addition to rear of house, 1892 house was altered and added wooden porches on both sides, circa 1916 flats on site, 1954 there was a store located in the basement. By approximately 1983, the building was condemned. The following photos show the building during this point in time. This is the rear portion of the building where the proposed addition, where the postmodern addition currently is and the proposed new work is to take place. In 1986, the townhouses that had been in this spot were renovated into a 16-unit inn to include interior alterations, addition of an elevator / stair tower with the connecting porches, courtyard and exterior restoration. Another alteration included a paved parking lot with a wall. Presently, the building functions as a President's Quarters Hotel. There was a previous approval to build an adjacent structure to expand the hotel on what is currently the parking lot. New construction parts 1 and 2, 20-002646 COA. And for some context of the area, the 225 East President Street is surrounded by a mix of other historic duplexes, the 1920s apartment complex, the Owens Thomas House, and the 1790 Inn and Restaurant. The following are photos just showing some of the surrounding area. The proposed changes from the October 10th meeting provided by the applicant. The applicant detailed the following items that were discussed and as stated in their redesign plans. They stated that no existing historic fabric on the exterior will be removed. The demolition plans show the removal of the postmodern addition and two non-historic windows. And then if we go back to here, this will show a photograph where those window openings, of course, the size is all off, were boarded up. The applicant also proposes to restore some existing windows that are currently filled in, as the board had suggested at the previous meeting. In this photo, you can, some of these are visible. The next item is to reinterpret, they reinterpreted the postmodern non-historic porches with rear porch glazing. And the ordinance does allow for glazing on rear porches. All existing window and shutter hardware will be restored, and the applicant has stated that the proposed design is now visually compatible. The applicant also resubmitted a new material sample, and the physical sample is available.
Did you have something further?
Just to show the proposed west elevation, which is the rear side, and the proposed east elevation, just presented by the applicant, showing the changes from last month's. And lastly, the staff recommendation is approval for alterations and an addition for the property located at 225 East President Street as requested, because the proposed work is visually compatible and meets the standards. Thank you, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for staff? Would the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Yes, Madam Chairman. My name is Patrick Shea, and I'm with Gunmeyer Hoff Shea Architects. First of all, I'd like to compliment the staff on the very the thorough and excellent research through all the various iterations over time. We tried to listen very carefully at the last meeting, understand what it is that you preferred and wanted to see in the project, and we've incorporated all of them. In general, what I would like to say is that where what we presented last month was certainly less pronounced than the hot pink postmodern addition of the 1980s and the existing building, this time we've come back with something that is much more subdued. And the colors that you see that are coming around are the newly proposed colors. You can also see them in the renderings that we've presented. This is consistent with the model that we presented, I don't know, about 2.5 years ago when we presented the part one height and mass for the new construction. We did show that there would be a replacement of the existing addition. The rear building, we actually have reduced the mass somewhat as a consequence of this discussion, and also in an effort to make the addition on the back roughly symmetrical so that it was more in keeping with the relative symmetry of the two historic buildings. But we tried very hard to make sure that the historic buildings would now very clearly read as the star of the show, and not feel much competition, if any, from the addition. So with that, I'll make myself available for any questions.
Anyone have any questions for the petitioner? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Is there a member of the public that would like to comment? And if so, we ask that you please come forward, sign in, and state your name for the record.
Hello, my name is Andrew Jones. The revised proposal, in my view, is a dramatic improvement. In particular, as the architect mentions, its symmetry respects the historical character of the double townhouse. The enclosed porches echo the historic photographs showing enclosed porches. Those are the pros, and to me, they're very significant. There is a con that should be noted. The upper level of enclosed porches are not in the historic photographs. That's an additional level. And although staff says that there's no change in any historic fabric, the upper porches do obscure portion of brick. They obscure a replacement window, but of course in Savannah, replacement windows should have some significance. Even if they're not original, they were meant to be copies of original windows and are worthy of some consideration. And in the demolition images, you can see that in order to turn those into doors, the sills of the windows would be removed and brick would be removed to create a door. And again, the architect can correct me if I'm misinterpreting, but that. So, you know, it's, I think this is a dramatic improvement, but there still is that issue to consider. I would just say that I know that there's a lot of work to do by staff in analyzing these buildings and doing all the research, but I would just hope in the future that something like this, where there is demolition indicated in the architect's drawings and there is some removal of historic fabric, would be noted in the staff notes as such, because you need to be able to rely on the staff notes without doing independent work, and instead that does have to be raised in this instance. But all in all, I think this is a dramatic improvement, much more respectful of the historic character of the buildings that the original proposal. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other public comments?
Ryan Charles, Historic Savannah Foundation. We just want to, you know, to be courteous of your time, I'll probably just say I echo what Mr. Jones said, and our ARC echoes what Mr. Jones said. And our ARC additionally just wanted to note that, and I believe DNA has the same feelings, that lowest portions of the porch are usually more enclosed than they are glass historically. So we just wanted to add that as well. But we do echo Mr. Jones's concerns about the windows being turned into doors. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Good afternoon, Ellen Harris. I'm representing the Downtown Neighborhood Association, and just want to thank the petitioner for the revised submittal. We think this is much more in keeping and much more appropriate. The only comment, which Historic Savannah Foundation also noted, is that, you know, typically when you have an enclosed porch with a lot of glazing, you might have a more solid base beneath it, so it's not the whole thing, you know, isn't just a floating glass bay, but some additional solids on the base might provide some grounding to that addition. So that's our only comment. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Would the petitioner like to respond to public comment?
I would, thank you. Well, I'll accept the compliments about the dramatic improvement. We note that the standards, the National Park Service, do allow for additions to be made to the rear side of historic buildings. It doesn't preclude making additions. The addition that we're proposing, as I said earlier, is actually a bit less mass than what was previously reviewed at part one height and mass. I'm not in a position to back away from that additional area that's up there. It's fundamental to the success of the project at this point. We've compromised over the course of this journey considerably, and we're at the point where we sort of cut our project back to the bone. I will say that none of the comments that came forward, although they were well received, came forward and said that they felt like the project failed to meet the test of visual compatibility. We will very carefully consider the idea of a more solid base. I thought that was a good suggestion. I didn't have time to be able to resubmit from the time that we first heard it just a few working days ago. We think there's merit to that. It's actually behind a garden fence. It's going to be relatively hard to see, but it does make sense. And so that's something that we would be willing to study further. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, at this point, we're going to enter into board discussion. No further comments are going to be accepted. So we'll start with you, Mr. Higgins.
Comment.
No comment.
Ms. Gwynn.
I appreciate the applicant's willingness to listen to staff recommendations and the public comments from the last meeting. And I think it, you know, again, resulted in a much more favorable design and one that fits the visual compatibility of the neighborhood.
Mr. Altshuler.
No comment.
Mr. Thompson.
I'd like to echo everybody's comment about the improvement in the design. The comments you've heard about the heavier base, would you, is it appropriate to ask the question, would you approve that to be part of our recommendation, or you need, or at least to be studied and considered, but would it have to come back?
I think that's something that we could put in the motion.
I guess, I don't know if it's time, but I guess I'd like to have, I'm looking at the drawing here, I was, and I'm not sure about how the base could look heavier, because it looks like there's a, maybe staff can show that picture, and I want to learn.
A photograph or the elevation?
Well, the plan view of it, of the elevation, right?
Plan view.
Well, you can, well.
This way, drawing, I don't know what a plan view, you mean?
Yeah. I think there's some without the new building in front of it.
This?
There we go. Okay, so point out, whoops.
Just trying to get closer.
You can make it bigger if you need to. Point out to where it would be heavier. Was it above the floor where that looks like a railing?
I mean, I don't personally know what they were referring to. I don't know if you did.
Yeah, I think we could go ahead and have Mr. Shea speak to that.
I believe what they mean is that this has more glass in it than it absolutely needs. So these are full glazed, and these areas we could reduce the amount of glass or perhaps even eliminate it so that it was more solid and less void along the base. And we're certainly willing to study that.
Oh, you mean the base being the first floor level?
Yes, the base level being the ground floor.
Oh, is that not up the, okay. I interpret okay. That differently. Okay, thank okay. You.
When we heard from the public on that, they were saying that they just thought that having more solid on the bottom would provide more grounding for the building itself. So we will now entertain a motion.
Sorry, slow today without our technology. I move that the Savannah Downtown Historic Board of Review approve the petition number 22-004359-COA for 225 East President Street, with the condition discussed today that the architect will review the base of the glazing of the porches before moving forward.
Higgins, second.
Second, yeah, thank you. Okay, it has been moved that by Ms. Gwen to approve with the condition of review of the architect reviewing the base for a more solid glazing on the porches, or something more solid there on the porches, and seconded by Mr. Higgins. So now we're going to enter into board voting. Mr. Higgins?
Aye.
Ms. Rowland?
Aye.
Ms. Gwen?
Aye.
Mr. Altshuler?
Aye.
Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
Motion passes. Okay, now we're going to move on to petition of Rose Architects, 22-004373COA, 111 West Congress Street, alterations, addition, variance request.
And this is Gwen. I need to recuse myself from this item.
Okay, so noted. Thank you. Go ahead with the presentation.
Good afternoon. This is Caitlin Chamberlain. This project was continued from the October 12th meeting. The applicant is requesting alterations and a variance request recommendation for the property located at 111 West Congress Street. Proposed work includes reconfiguring the interior spaces, the addition of a roof deck and bar, an indoor-outdoor operable patio, a roof replacement, and a marquee sign on the front facade. Staff notes that staff still finds the majority of this project visually compatible and aligned with the standards, as was also recommended in the October meeting. The applicant is also requesting a recommendation by the Zoning Board of Appeals for a variance from the standard regarding marquees in the special sign district to allow for 8'9" of clearance from the underside of the marquee to the sidewalk where it is normally 10 feet. With regard to some of the history and the context of the surrounding area, 111 West Congress Street was constructed in 1969 and is a non-contributing structure within the Savannah National Historic Landmark District and the Savannah Downtown Historic District. The building form in the 1973 Sanborn map reflects the current configuration found at this address. And for contrast, the 1953 Sanborn map shows the lot configuration prior to the current building. An undated photograph shows an earlier version of the current building when it functioned as a law office. The 100 block of West Congress Street and its surrounding area consists of several commercial buildings of similar height and mass. The applicant has provided examples of the variety of styles in this area. So the original design submitted left some questions for staff and the board regarding the variance request for the marquee height and the use of the folding glass partition doors, which have typically been interpreted as a form of sliding glass doors. The applicant has made a change to omit this door type for a variation that is more compatible. With regards to the variance request, staff further reviewed the area and the reasoning for the height variance request having to do with the visual compatibility of the building itself and the surrounding area. The current design shows that the top portion of the marquee would be 12 feet above street level, and the bottom portion is at 8'9" above the sidewalk. To maintain a visually compatible scale, there is little room to elevate the marquee to bring the lower level to 10 feet. Street views of the 100 block of West Congress show the vertical dimensions prevalent on the block. So these are just different east and west viewpoints. Here's the 111 address. And here's the building again from the other direction. With regard to the change in the doors, at the October 12th meeting, it was suggested by the board that perhaps the use of French doors could achieve the same effect as the original intention. The applicant looked into the Marvin Ultimate French doors, but found the 6-inch column that would go between the pairs of French doors would cause an obstruction along the sidewalk. And with that, the applicant also provided some examples of the Marvin Ultimate bifold door. So with that, staff recommends to approve the proposed alterations and addition at 111 West Congress Street with the following condition to be submitted to staff for final review and approval because the work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. One, provide information on the sign illumination prior to installation. And second, recommend approval for a recommendation to the Zoning Board of Appeals for a variance from the standard that reads, the lowest point of the marquee sign shall not be less than 10 feet above the established grade, to allow for the 8-foot 9 inches of clearance from the underside of the marquee to the sidewalk and maintain the visual compatibility of the vertical dimensions prevalent on the 100 block of West Congress Street. Thank you, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions for staff? Hearing none, we're going to ask the petitioner to come forward, please. State your name for the record.
Good afternoon, everyone. Kevin Rose with Rose Architects. I think I agree with everything staff has to say. We worked on this together. Obviously, we worked together last month on arriving at the current design. Really, the only thing, and to save time, that I'm requesting is to look at the ultimate doors that are bifold. That sidewalk's very narrow out there, and to have four doors opening out onto the sidewalk there would be an issue. The only difference is we eliminate the 6-inch column between them. They're the same doors. They're the same product. It's just how they open. I think that's really all I have to say. I'm open for questions.
Does anyone have questions for the petitioner?
I do. I'm Tom Thompson. I'm sorry, I'm always can't picture all this in my head. So what you're saying is that here we have the folding doors. That's what you're proposing?
Yes.
And you have a problem with it projecting what half the
French
door
doors
up?
French doors would open out, and there'd be right. four protrusions on that sidewalk, which is right. a very busy thoroughfare. So the way the bifold doors open, they're the same panels, they're just the operating is different. So
so you were talking about the French doors with the
would be an obstruction.
The obstruction, yeah. And staff is okay with the folding doors? Okay.
Right. I think he was
got the two issues mixed up there.
Right. But this, I think he was speaking in regards to what we had discussed at the last meeting when we had recommended the French doors. Right. So, yeah.
And we're amenable to both, but it's just more of a safety issue with the bifold doors on that sidewalk and the distance that we have there. So any other questions?
Question about the marquee. Did you explore any other alternatives?
Uh, This is something that my client wanted. We looked into it, and staff seemed excited about it. And so we went forward with it. It's kind of fits with the use of the building, and we've lost a lot of marquees over the years, and this would be another one that would come back. We looked at doing just a straight up awning out there. I mean, it's garden variety, and this place is supposed to be special, and he really wants to make a mark with it, and literally a marquee. So we did look at different versions with an awning, and the way it's designed, it's going to be a marquee that's also kind of an awning because it is open underneath to allow the to get back to the window pattern of the street. So now we're at about 8 foot or 7.5 feet as far as our window line, and we're bringing that back up to meet the neighboring buildings. So this is a way to have a marquee and also to get the that fabric of that front, you know, on Congress Street back to what it should be. I take it you don't like the marquee.
It's not a question of whether I like it or not. It's I question its visual compatibility, and standing on Congress Street, because it's such a narrow street, it kind of funnels the sight lines down. So I'm not entirely sold on it.
That's
okay. Thank you.
Okay. Is that all?
I think so. Does anyone have any other questions? I think we're good. Thank you. Is there any member of the public that would like to comment? And if so, would you please come forward, sign in, and state your name for the record? Okay, nobody. This time we're going to enter into board discussion. No further comment will be accepted. Why don't we start with you, Mr. Thompson?
Thank you. No comments.
Mr. Atchiller?
No comment.
I like the design. That's it.
Mr. Higgins?
I very much like the overall design of the building. I think it's much improved and much better defined. As I said, I'm not a fan of the marquee. I think given the height issue above the sidewalk, and how far it juts out, it creates a visual break. It's a little overwhelming on for the scale of the building. It's my belief, I mean, staff even mentioned some of the blade signs, such as Star Charlie's. There could have been something perhaps a little higher, because Sorry Charlie's and Lady and Sons, they both have their signs are on the second floors. So they're up away from the sidewalk. So I'm sold on the overall design, but not sold on the marquee.
Okay, thank you. Why don't we go back through again, Mr. Thompson? Do you have anything else to add?
Well, I had a problem with the marquee because it didn't hit the 10 foot, and I looked at the building, and I could design something that would fit there and still be a marquee by raising up two levels of that stripe that look around. I'm pretty sure there's a top and a bob and the middle's designed to put letters in or something. Well, there's a way to have that done differently and still hit the 10 foot, but I'm willing to accept it. I wasn't clear when the staff showed the picture of the corridor with all the canopies and stuff, what the height, bottom height of those canopies were. Were they 10 feet or were they less than 10 feet?
Just doing a visual.
Okay, we're just doing the visual. All right. That would have been an interesting comparison to go with Mr. Higgins' concerns. But that,
I can answer that.
Art, you can answer that. Is that all right?
Yeah, I think it's appropriate for him to answer that. Assume he's
Looking at the context, a lot of the awnings that are on that street are below 10 feet. And we're lining up with some of them in our project. So that's where that 8'9", it wasn't an arbitrary number. We actually, you can see some of them are lower than 8 foot over here. They're 8 foot and some change, especially the 51 degrees.
Yeah, awnings are only required to be 8 feet clear. Our keys are 10. So yeah, you'll see a lot of these at.
Okay, well, thank you. That's.
Thank you. Mr. Altshuler.
The marquee, however, is a solid structure as opposed to an awning, correct? Yes. I'm always reticent about variances to ordinances. And I'm wondering whether the marquee could be narrower when in its height. It seems like it's reasonably wide right now, and achieve the same end and get to 10 feet.
Like me to answer why?
Sure.
Okay. We never have an easy thing selling something that's not the norm, right? So one thing that is normal is that there are four historic marquees in Savannah, and two of them don't meet the ordinance as it's stated. So they're at 9'1", I believe, and 9-something else. It's in the packet. But what we're trying to do is we're trying to maintain that historic pattern on the street. So if we raised it up, we would be missing some of that alignment, and we'd be missing kind of fitting in. So 8'9" was the number, and I think staff maybe went and checked. So they said they looked into it further. And then if we eliminate some from the bottom, we get down to basically one band, and it's no longer a marquee. It's a strip of letters. So raising it up doesn't line up with the other pattern of the street in both instances. So we're using that historic pattern as our inspiration.
Thank you for that clarification. Ms. Rowland, did you have any other comments?
Yeah, now that you've explained it, like why the height is where it is, I like it. I don't see anything wrong with it. I think it'll be nice.
Thank you. Mr. Higgins.
About the comment about the historic marquees, those were all done ages ago, well before the current laws. So should they be called into play here? I don't really think so. It's still my belief that overall design is very good, but I think there could be an alternate design for the signage.
Okay, thank you. Okay, at this point, we're going to entertain a motion, and I just want to remind you that on the recommendation from the staff is that there is a motion for the application, as well as a recommendation to the Zoning Board of Appeals for a variance.
Tom Thompson, I'll make a motion regarding the petition of Rose Architects 22004373-COA at 111 Congress Street to approve the proposed alterations. And a minor right one, yeah. Alterations in addition at 111 West Congress Street with the following condition to be submitted for staff final review. And because the work is otherwise visually compatible, okay, in my way here, compatible and meets the standards. One, provide information on the sign illumination prior to installation. And also recommend approval for a recommendation to the Zoning Board of Appeals for a variance from the standard that reads the lowest point of the marquee sign shall not be less than 10 feet above the established grade to allow for an 8'9" clearance from the underside of the marquee to the sidewalks and maintain the visual compatibility of the vertical dimensions prevalent on the 100 block of West Congress Street.
Is there a second?
Rowan, second.
Okay, it has been moved by Mr. Thompson to approve those alterations in addition at 111 West Congress Street with condition number one, provide information on the sign illumination prior to installation, as well as recommend an approval for to the Board of Appeals for a variance for the standard that reads the lowest point of the marquee shall not be less than 10 feet above the established grade. Is there any other discussion on the motion?
Madam Chair, do we have a quorum? Yes, what's this? Well, so the chairman votes in this case. All right, if you say so.
Okay, if there's no other discussion, we're going to go ahead and vote. Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
Mr. Altshuler?
Aye.
Ms. Rowan?
Aye.
And Mr. Higgins?
Nay.
The motion passes. Okay, I think we're going to keep going. We have the next application by GM Shea Architects. Go ahead.
Thank you. This is Ethan Hickman presenting for staff on the project at 301 West Bay Street. I'm going to pass around the samples that the petitioners brought us. So 301 West Bay Street, otherwise known as Club One, is coming before you today for alterations and additions to the building. The rooftop will be utilized as an event space. The second and third floors will be used as residential apartments, while the ground floor and existing basement will be used for a food and beverage establishment. Here's a building in scale from Bay Street. On all facades, the historic brick are proposed to be cleaned and repointed. Staff is just requesting the mortar type and specification for the repointing work prior to the full execution of the work being done. And then in regards to the rooftop, it is non-historic to the historic building. And we find the changes being made will be visually compatible and bring new life to the rooftop portion of the building. The southern facade facing the lane, a new railing is proposed for it to be made of ornamental metal and have a wood top railing. Staff is just asking for the dimensions of the balusters for this proposed railing on the rooftop, as it must not exceed 4 inches on center. Staff is finding these to be visually compatible though. And then regards to the western facade, this is the side facing the Hilton Hotel in this outline of the adjacent building. There are 6 proposed openings to this wall to allow for lighting and a small porch for the apartments on the second and third floors. These will be minimally visible as seen by the outline of the building. And then also, we didn't see on a site plan or a floor plan where the refuse location is to be for the building. So we're just asking to know where that is in the project. Other than that, staff is recommending approval for this project for alterations and additions to the building at 301 West Bay with the following conditions of providing the proposed mortar type, providing the dimensions of the baluster for the proposed guardrails and railings of the rooftop, and to submit where the refuse storage area will be located. Thank you. Now open to questions.
Any questions for staff? Okay. Oh, go ahead. Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay. Would the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Yes, Madam Chairman. My name is Patrick Shea, and I'm with Gunmeyer Hoff Shea Architects. So we agree with staff's recommendation. I would like to just briefly say that it's fallen upon us, I guess, with both of the petitions that we had today, to try and figure out how to take very unsympathetic additions that were made to beautiful old buildings and try and heal them. These are not restoration projects. We can't bring them back to what they were in the 1880s. But what we're trying to do is make sure that they are much, much more visually compatible than they were previously. In regards to the mortar and the repointing, yes, absolutely. We'll do not only one, but probably more than one 4x4, because we've got at least three different kinds of masonry on the outside of the building. We've got a lot of different mortar widths and mortar types. The building, sadly, was very badly cracked due to settlement from, I'm not sure which parking, underground parking facility it was, probably all of them. And we've got a lot of healing to do in that regard. So it may take a little bit more than just mortar to fill in some of the joints. But we will work very closely with staff and making sure that it's all done in accordance with the National Park Service preservation standards, and also something that everybody looks at and says visually compatible. Yes, the balusters will be 4 inches on center, and we'll provide a detail of the final design directly to staff so that they can confirm that. And then the refuge storage area is actually going to be on the inside of the building. There is one opening that is in the southwest corner facing the lane that's being extended down to the ground to make a door. And that doorway beyond it will be the sort of back of the house for the facility. And there's going to be, that's where the deliveries will be received, and the garbage will wait, hopefully patiently, for the garbage trucks. And with that, I'll make myself available for any other further questions.
Questions for the applicant? Mr. Thompson, did you have a question for the applicant?
Well, I think I answered. I saw some footnotes, but the apartments on or the residential kind of layout on the third floor, I think it is.
Yes.
The apartments, or is it a hotel?
They're apartments.
Apartments. Okay. I want to see if it was commercial or, well, it is commercial as an apartment, but. Well, hotel will be different than
I can't tell you how often it's going to be rented, but it's an apartment.
Okay.
It's not a hotel.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there a member of the public that would like to comment? We just ask that you sign in and state your name for the record. Okay, so we're going to enter into board discussion. So no further comment will be accepted at this point. We'll start with you, Mr. Higgins.
No comment.
Ms. Rowland.
No comment. No comments.
Mr. Atchler.
No comment.
Mr. Thompson.
Just that it's appreciated that people are investing in these buildings and to keep them up to standards and to be better than they are. Thank you.
True. Thank you. Okay, at this point, we will entertain a motion.
This is Gwen. I move that the Savannah Downtown Historic Board of Review approve the petition of Shea Architects, petition number 22-004728-COA for 301 West Bay Street, provided that the conditions outlined in the staff recommendation are met.
Second.
Second it, Thompson.
Thank you. Is there any more discussion on the motion? Okay, it has been moved by Ms. Gwynn to approve 22-004728-COA 301 West Bay Street with the recommendations outlined in the staff's report and seconded by Mr. Thompson. So we will now vote. Mr. Higgins, how do you vote? Ms. Rowan?
Aye.
Ms. Gwynn?
Aye.
Mr. Altscheller?
Aye.
Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
Motion passed. Okay, we're ready for the last application.
All right, here I am. I know you've missed me. Okay, let me figure out which one it is. There it is. All right, this is Leah Mahalik. The applicant is requesting approval for the petition of new construction part two design details to construct a seven-story hotel on the property located at 220 East Bryan Street. The project qualifies as large-scale development and has been granted an additional story above the height map utilizing criterion B, which requires multiple ground floor active uses and exterior building walls to incorporate 100% modular masonry materials on all sides with the use of granite, marble, or other natural quarried stone over a minimum of 30% of all street fronting facades. And if you all recall, the existing building on the site that had been built in 1970 has already been approved for demolition. Do you want me to, did you all see this before and in between? You don't want to pass it around again?
I think we all saw it. Did everybody get to check out the all the building materials? Okay, I think we're all good.
Okay, and you all have that PDF.
Versalux or, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Thank you.
All right. So on September 14th, you all approved part one height and mass with three conditions. And that was to remove the note about the amenity roof, which has been removed. Two was to revise the front gable, the front parapet, and they've done that. They've taken it off and it's a flat parapet now. And the third one was about providing the engineering reports and obviously that can't be done until construction. So with regard to the part two standards and visual compatibility of relationship of materials, texture, and color. Oh, I didn't write down the page number for the photo of the, here we go. So there are the two types of brick. We have the field brick and then the accent brick and the limestone. And hopefully you all looked at the So the limestone is for the first two floors of the building, meeting that requirement. But the windows, the doors, the storefront, the louvers, the railings, all those materials are these variety of medium bronze and gray colors here. And we discussed the PVC brackets and soffits. So those, whoops, excuse me. Those are proposed to be up at the top of the building. Typically, PVC is not something we typically support on any project. However, in this case in particular, it's very high off the ground. It'll be minimal, and this view isn't even from a person point of view. So I mean, you're not going to see it from a person perspective, and definitely won't ever recognize it as PVC. So in this particular case, staff is recommending approval for this material. There was a specification for it here too. Oh, this is the light fixture, and then there's the gas lantern light fixture. So staff does find all proposed materials, textures, and colors visually compatible. With regard to exterior walls, as we mentioned, they're proposed to be brick and limestone, and the color stains and finishes we find visually compatible with colors within the ward. It's a beige, brown, and bronze color palette that's typical throughout the ward and throughout the district. Doors, there are prohibited door types, and one is a sliding glass door, and they're not permitted to be visible from street. And the front doors of the building are proposed to be sliding doors here. So that standard isn't met. The applicant is going to show you an alternative during their presentation. So with regard to the windows, peerless metal windows are proposed. These have never been approved by you all for use within the district. Staff is requesting a full-size sample, which they saw our recommendation. We shared it with them during the preliminary agenda, and they did provide the full-size sample. And we did discuss then we do still have concerns, even with the full-size sample, about its compatibility, particularly with how some of these connections are detailed and with the size of the muntins. Yes, muntin is still large on this side. I'm gonna fall over if I put it that way. Okay, stay, don't fall. We did discuss this with them, and they have a couple of alternatives and some other information to show you as well, some alternatives. Storefront glazing, we have a standard that says that storefront glazing shall extend from a sill or from an 18 to 24 inch base of contrasting design or material. So right now what they're showing is that the limestone would continue right under the storefront. So technically that standard isn't met. And again, I'm going to let them show it to you, but they've provided an alternative for the material underneath the base. So I did just want to point out, as you noticed, that it wasn't on the sample board or anything like that, but these fabric awnings that they're showing, they're going to come back with those at a later time. They aren't proposing those at this time. Large scale development standards in the bonus story. So they are proposing 31% limestone, 69% brick, which of course adds up to 100% modular masonry for their bonus story. And they exceed the 30% for their bonus story. 30% limestone, excuse me. I somehow managed to pull that out of there. Okay. So staff is recommending approval with the following conditions to be submitted to staff for final review and approval because the proposed work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. One, revise the front entrances from sliding doors to traditional swing doors to meet the standard. Two, provide a full-size sample of the peerless metal window that has muntins that do not exceed 7 inches wide. And Tom pointed out that this reads strangely, but does have a wider bottom rail than a meeting rail and top rails, or select a previously approved window from the window brochure. And three, revise the storefront base to have contrasting design or material to meet the standard. And I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Questions to staff?
Did Did I misunderstand, or is PVC not currently acceptable as a?
It's not listed as prohibited.
Not listed as prohibited.
Right. So it's not listed as permitted and it's not listed as prohibited, which means you all can approve it.
We can.
Yes.
All right. Does that create a precedent for PVC?
No, I would just be real specific about why in this, like staff was when we discussed it in this particular case, it's seven stories above the ground and it's going to be minimally visible from the right of way and things like that. That's the only reason staff supports it.
I have some concern that those, that gets in the future becomes a standard.
Sure. Yeah. It doesn't have to. For certain, it doesn't have to, you know, in theory, we never set a precedent, right? With our each of our decisions, your decisions, our recommendations stand separately.
Okay. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think to that point, just for whoever's making the motion, make a note to add that in as part of it.
Good point.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
This might be a question for the applicant's architect, but the PVC, will that come in the final color or do you have to paint it? Or so there is maintenance.
I think that's a question for the applicant.
Yeah, okay.
I thought it was painted, but I think I just saw him shake his head yes. So.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Any other questions?
Better if it was integral. So,
any other questions for staff? Nope. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
We welcome the petitioner to come up at this time. And would you please come forward and state your name for the record?
Good afternoon. Patrick Phelps with Hanson Architects. Hope everybody's doing well today. I'll just jump in with the PVC just to kind of continue that discussion and see if I can resolve any questions about it. We challenged ourselves to find a material that was going to be compatible. Typically an eave, especially with the adjacent building, would be wood. We found that would be troublesome for maintenance and repair. Other options included metal, which we didn't feel was appropriate. The PVC will give us a wood look. The samples that we provided, Versatex, I just want to be clear, there's a beadboard side and then there's a flat board side. And this is pieced and milled just like wood. We are going to use the flat board, not the beadboard, and it would be painted. It would be a final painted finish. Smooth finish, no wood grain, so we're not trying to emulate a fake wood, but we're just trying to get a smooth panel that would simulate wood in that condition. So that answers your questions.
Well, since that was off, yeah, if I may. So I'm concerned about the long-term maintenance, especially up where it is.
Right.
And so the paint that would be used on this, is that a different paint than you would use on wood?
Yes, they do have specially formulated paints that bond to PVC to give you a longer life cycle than just wood. That's correct.
Okay, I won't ask you what the life cycle is, but at least.
And I couldn't tell you what that is, but it is, I mean, and there will be maintenance, but we understand that it would be less with the PVC than with wood for sure.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks. As for the condition number one, we are in agreement with staff and understand that the sliding doors were not allowed by the ordinance. So we're just going to go ahead and swap those out and provide swinging doors at the front entry. There was a little ambiguity about the window with the ordinance. The section that was quoted states that double glaze simulated divided light shall be permitted, provided that the following are met, and gives those criterias. What we originally proposed is a true divided light. So I don't think that this would completely comply. However, I think we're heading in a good direction based on staff's review, and we have some alternates to look at that. And within those requirements, I know there was a question about the lower sash rail be wider than the meeting rail and top rail that's come up. I think that was Mr. Thompson. I see those as properties of a double hung window, because that is typically what is happening, that there is a larger bottom rail than the side rails and the meeting rails and the top rail in a true double hung window. However, in a casement window, that is not always the case. And in an awning window, which we're proposing, is not always the case. They're fabricated differently. So that's language that I think would not apply to those two window types, but would if I was going to come in and say I want to do a simulated divided light double hung window. As proposed, you can see on the right as the section of the window. I apologize for the sample. These are hard to get these days. This is a custom window. The differences are that the window that is going to be on site is probably 4 times the size of this one. So that's going to change the proportions of the visibility of that those rails. Also, the glass is going to be inset further because we're proposing that we do an inset glazing putty that would be more traditional and mimic a traditional window. So in this condition, just to note, with this frame system, it's a 2.5-inch frame around the perimeter. The rails where the awning meets the fixed glass are 5 inches. And then, as you can see in that section down at the bottom, that's the section between the two fixed glazes, it's 3 1/8. We did go back to the manufacturer and we, I'm sorry, real quick. These are similar replacement windows of the same scale and size. So you can see sort of in person or real life what the proportions look like. And we did go back to the manufacturer and see what we could do about providing a thinner profile window. And we've got a, so this is now a simulated divided light. So it does fall underneath those qualifications, those as far as the button spacing or dimension. It reduces the perimeter profile to 1 1/4 inches, and also the sash and fixed window pane to 3 1/2, 3 5/8 inches. And it does provide a 7/8 inch applied mullion, but it's a true divided light. I mean, I'm sorry, simulated divided light with the spacer bar and an interior mutton, which complies with the ordinance. So we'd like to, I mean, if this is with, okay with staff and we can continue to work with getting a sample and mock-up and have that for review, we'd like to see if we could move in this direction. I think it's a better look and overall reduces the impact of the frame of the window. And that's side by side, so you can kind of see the difference between the two. And for the base underneath the storefront, we had some clarification on that as far as what that base is contrasting to, whether it would be the storefront itself or the building. Staff has clarified to us that it would be from the building because there are multiple cases of historic buildings where it happens both ways. So what we're proposing, because we're large scale and we're going the bonus story with 100% modular masonry with 30% limestone, to change that material would deny us the right to have the bonus story. So we're going to keep the same material, but it allows a change in design. So what we're proposing is that we're going to do a rusticated stone at that base below the storefront. As everybody's getting their workout up there. And some examples of that downtown of other stone buildings or stucco buildings, you can see that there's just a slight, it's the same material, but maybe a slight design change where there's a recessed panel or the building is rusticated and the stone below the window is smooth or vice versa in multiple conditions. So we'd like to kind of follow that pattern where we're just changing the texture to give announcement to that storefront and identity. And I'd like to add as well, that is also recessed back from the plane of the street, a little over a foot. So it's also gonna read as a storefront infill rather than kind of having a base with window punched in it. So with that, I'd like to ask for your approval in accordance with staff recommendations that will change the entry sliding doors to swing doors. That will continue to work with approval of a simulated divided light with a smaller profile, and we'll work with staff to provide them a final sample and approval, and to change the limestone base under the storefront to have a rusticated face to comply with the ordinance. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Do we have questions for the applicant? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Is there a member of the public that would like to comment? If so, we ask that you please come forward, sign in, and state your name for the record.
Ryan Charles, Historic Savannah Foundation. I'm glad I'm not the only member of the public left. There's one other. Our ARC just wanted to reiterate our statement from the previous meeting before this one, during part one, that we appreciate the architect's willingness to work with members of the public, work with staff, and to change this to a more appropriate design. And we do agree with staff that the materiality brought to you in this part two is appropriate as well. They did just want to use this time again to reiterate what they said at the last meeting, that one of the true threats to our district is the recombination of lots and the construction of enormous buildings within the district. And even though part one was approved, we just wanted to reiterate that again at this meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else from the public that would like to speak? Applicant like to respond to the public comment? Okay. At this point, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. And we will enter into board discussion. Mr. Higgins, we'll start with you.
No comment.
No comment.
No comments.
Mr. Comment. Mr. Thompson.
I'd like to hear from staff if the proposal by the architect, the three items in response, excuse me, to your conditions, are they satisfactory to staff?
Yes, staff finds them satisfactory.
All right, thank you.
And as far as the condition of him wanting to work with you on the window,
yeah, I would probably just alter your condition number two a little bit, that, you know, something about using the peerless window. I'm not sure how you would word that, but yes.
Could that include just something regarding the petitioner working with staff on coming up with the
final window solution or something?
Yes, because I know you were talking about both the divided light and the awning.
That would be fine.
Not the awning, I'm sorry, but yeah.
That'd be fine.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Any other discussion at this point? Okay. So now we're going to entertain a motion.
This is Gwen. I move that the Savannah Downtown Historic Board of Review approve the petition of Hanson Architects number 22-00-2279-COA for 220 East Bryan Street, provided that conditions 1 and 3 and the staff recommendation are met, and an added condition that the applicant work with staff to agree upon an appropriate window. I would also like to add, as a note for the record, that staff's recommendation and the board's recommendation of approval of PVC in this instance is very specific to the circumstances of this particular petition and should not be seen as precedent for forward moving projects.
Higgins, second.
I want to make sure I've got the motion correct. Miss Gwen has made a motion to accept the application with the following conditions, including 1 and 4. Is that correct?
1 and 3.
And add the comment regarding the PVC. Right. And the condition that we work with staff, that the applicant works with the staff on the window, the appropriate window. And also that the PVC being used in this particular project is unique only to this project and will not be precedent setting moving forward. Is that correct? Okay. Seconded by Mr. Higgins. So we will now vote. Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
Mr. Altshuler?
Aye.
Ms. Quinn?
Aye.
Ms. Rowan?
Aye.
Mr. Higgins?
Aye.
Thank you. Motion passes. Oops, we're going to move on with the approved staff reviews. A list of the staff reviews has been attached to the agenda. Do I need to read each of those?
I just closed the agenda. Does she need to read them? There's 20, I counted them. So answer is no, it sounds like.
Okay, well, the board members know that they can read through that.
In your spare time.
I'm just going to ask for acknowledgement that all of you have acknowledged and read these. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Work performed without a certificate of appropriateness. Attaches a report regarding work begun without a certificate of appropriateness or which deviates from prior approval. You can find those as well listed on the agenda. Report on items deferred to staff. Attaches a report regarding items deferred to staff, such as conditions stipulated by board decisions and current status reports and ongoing projects. That too is included with our agenda. And notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. There was one item listed, which you can also see in your agenda. Other business, we have an additional comment.
Now, so this was just received about 336 Barnard after the meeting, and she who submitted it asked us to ensure that the board saw it. So, but it was received after you all approved it at that meeting.
And we all saw that in our agenda as well. Okay, thank you.
And then the next one, I guess we can't do today unless you want to appoint the nominating committee, or do you want to save that for Ellie?
Let's save it for Ellie because there's not that many of us here today anyway. So
true.
Yeah. Okay. And our next pre-meeting is going to be Wednesday, December 14th at 12 o'clock. And the next regular meeting is going to be at 1 o'clock on December 14th. So is there anything else to be brought up today by anyone? Okay. Thank you. Someone has a motion for an adjournment. Thank you.
Seconded.
Second.
That's it.
Hi.
All right.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.